definitely a beautiful guitar. Psalm 111. Where we're at this evening. This psalm and Psalm 112, which we won't get into tonight, are both about praising the Lord. But, you know, when we look at what we have here, this it's a special one, you're praising Him for His faithfulness and justice. And we've seen that theme in Psalms. That's, you know, when these were written, the psalmists had these songs and these things just pouring out of them. They had to write them. You know, there's something that either they experienced or God had taken them through. And we get to look at these things. And I'm sure that many of us can look and go, I've felt that way before. I've experienced that before. And that's the blessing of the scriptures, where we can relate to it. So as we're going through, there's, you know, praising God for His faithfulness and for His justice, and being mindful of those things at all times. You know, when our eyes get shifted, when we look at this world, we can get deceived very easily and think that God isn't in control. When we can go through things in our lives and go, you know what, I'm not sure if I know God is in control. But the scriptures declare that He is. So we have to cling to them and not to our emotions. We cannot follow our emotions, because they will always lead us astray. God gave us emotions, and you know, we get happy, we get sad. There are things that are natural to us, but we can't follow those emotions. We can't put our trust in those emotions, because the scriptures also say that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. So, you know, if we're just following emotion and, oh, well, this made me feel good, so I'm going to keep doing this, then we're just experiencing emotionalism. But when we get into the faithfulness of God and trust in that, that's where we're going to find our true strength. That's where we're going to grow in our faith. You know, where we don't understand, but we still do what God calls us to do, that's exercising our faith. And knowing that He's faithful and that He's just. Just resting in those things will, benefit us greatly. So we're going to see here, there's a great focus on the works of God. The word work or works is prevalent in this psalm, of what God has done, what God does do. And because of those things, we should praise Him just as a result of them. So it's a great psalm for those of us that like to study the Word. This is a Sunday night crew. There's a different focus here. Typically, I'm not saying we're the spiritual elite or anything like that, but it expresses a desire to know the Scriptures more. Some people just can't be here. Their schedules don't allow. Please don't look at it that way. But what we do see here, midweek service, men's, women's studies, wave escape, stuff like that, youth group. It's a primary focus on knowing God more. How do we know God more, and to get around like-minded people and just be blessed as we study? So, the study of the Word should be the focus of our lives. That's going to please God, and we're going to grow from it. So, not that we would look at the Bible as, okay, I've read it once, cool, big check, and now I can move on. No, it's actually the deep study of it. So we'll get into that now. If I didn't pray, I'll pray right now. God, please bless us by Your Spirit as we study Your Word, and open our eyes to Your faithfulness, Your justice, as those things are so prevalent in this, and Your works in this psalm. In Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 1 says, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. So starts out with the command of praising the Lord. There's the command and a declaration, right? Declaring to everybody, praise the Lord. But it's also, a command from the scripture for us to praise the Lord. And It's a great way to exercise our faith and grow in our understanding. Because when our hearts are praising the Lord, we have a deeper appreciation for that fellowship with Him. You know, when we're singing these songs, it causes us to meditate on God's faithfulness, God's truth, His justice, His goodness, His kindness. There's so much, you know, depending on what song we're singing or whatever, that causes us to meditate, to focus on those. But if you look even at a secular song, the secular song will cause you to meditate, whether you know it or not. You're kind of meditating on what it's saying. You're thinking about it, right? And it's taking you down the road of what it's saying. So we should be very careful what we're putting into our ear, rather than, you know, coming here and praising the Lord and then popping on the latest, you know, number one rap track full of, this is what I used to do, you know, full of just trash lyrics. And then we try to figure out, well, how come I'm not growing in my life? Well, garbage in, garbage out, right? You know, whatever I'm taking in is going to come out of my life. So just consider that. What are we taking into our lives? But when we're praising the Lord, our minds are getting are focused on pleasing Him and singing to Him for the good things He's done with our lives, and it also trains our mind to meditate on Him. So it says here, with my whole heart. We talked about it briefly this morning. You know, to fulfill the law, one needs to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbors yourself. But that your whole being, right? Praise Him with the whole heart. I will praise Him with everything that I've got. Not a divided heart. Like, this part's going to praise God. This part's going to serve myself. This part's going to hate people, right? Because we harbor those things and those bitterness, that bitterness there. And what it all that ends up doing is consuming us, right? But when we praise Him with our whole heart, you know, just laying everything out and saying, God, I need you to take this or whatever, and just asking Him, Lord, have all of me, take all of me, and that He would be praised with our whole heart. It says here, in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. I love that because it speaks of this. It speaks of being together with the assembly, right? You guys know what I'm probably about to say. You know, Hebrews tells us, 10:25, not to forsake gathering together of the brethren, right? This is the opposite of it. This is where the blessing comes from, the assembly together, assembling with like-minded people to praise the Lord. That's a wonderful gift from the Lord. You know, when we see here that it says, in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation, you know, that we would congregate around, you know, praise and being in the word together, being in prayer. So praising the Lord with our whole heart with each other. You know, doesn't it speak of a strength? There's a strength there when we know we're not alone. Can we praise the Lord by ourselves? Absolutely. But there's something special about us getting together and praising Him together. There's a bond that comes when His children gather in His name. So it's just such a blessing, and that the Lord gives us. Verse 2 says, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in Him. That's awesome. Let's read it again. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. You know, his works are great. That's the scripture declares that. That's not up for debate according to the scripture. Just like God's existence isn't up for debate according to the scripture. Consider, I know I just said this recently, but the Bible starts off with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It doesn't say, we're going to try to convince you of this or anything like that. It's a declaration, right? And this is declaring the works of the Lord are great. And consider, okay, what type of works are we looking at? It could be scientific, it could be historical, personal works that God has done in our own lives. But they're all great. You know, when you think of just the scientific things, think of this miraculous thing around us that human wisdom would look at it and say, oh no, you know what? I need to question this, because I don't want to submit myself to God. So I'm going to, and essentially that's, you know, many people that want to reject the scripture want to find a scientific reason to do so. But science points to God. It points to a created, a creator, one that would design. And think of that intelligent designer. And where is science going with it now? Or where are many people going with it? Doesn't want to confirm the existence of a God? Aliens, right? But, you know, the scriptures say the heavens declare the glory of God. So so if they don't, then God is a liar, right? So you know, essentially the one that is rejecting God is calling the whole our whole belief system and God himself a liar, and saying that we are involved in a lie. But where this says the works of God are great, scientific, historical, you know, the fact that his works are great is worthy of our study and our admiration. You know, I don't believe you can look around us and see what's here and go, no, none of it's worth studying at all. No, it's all, we have the answer. It was an accident. Everything exploded. We became, and someday our hearts are going to stop and we're going to be buried. And that's the end of it. I don't believe that at all. And I personally know every one of us here, at least getting to know you, Eric. But I know you guys don't believe that. We believe that we have a soul. We have a spirit within us. And we're not just globs of goo. We're highly, finely tuned machines is really what we are. Intricately made. The fact that just look at anything. I know I always go to this, but eyesight really gets me. You know, when Will was describing eyesight years ago, just talking about the process of when we see something, it's actually upside down, and until that vision, what we see here, you know, Oliver, I'm looking at you upside down somehow, right? And then it hits the back of my mind, and it flips you right side up, so you're not, you know, blood isn't running in your head, right? No, so but essentially. That whole process, and not only that, but I can see that, and this computer that is my mind is processing all of that. And just think about it, as weird as it is, Jen and I were walking in here. Maybe, was it Jen? No, I was talking to Shane. I was talking to Shane. Jen and I had already been here, and we're walking in, and I'm for some reason, I was just kind of focused on, like, my movements, and we were talking about something, and it was just talking about, in my mind, he probably had no idea, but my weird mind, I'm going, my body's doing what my brain is telling it to do. And that somehow I'm equipped within myself to tell my brain what to tell my body to do. That is not, you think of that. When we look at us, spirit, soul, and body, it's undeniable. It really is. His works are great, studied by all who have pleasure in him. You know, study, dive into the word of God and study the Lord's works. Gain a greater understanding of him. Because when we dive into these things and we learn more about him, it, as it says here, studied by all who have pleasure in him. Why do we have pleasure in him? Because we know him more, because we've been diving in. It's a healthy cycle that happens within our lives. So it's going to lead us to praising him and serving him as he deserves. Verse 3 says, his work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. No end to his righteousness. And the work that he does is honorable and glorious. Verse 4 says, he has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. So we're still seeing works, those things that God accomplishes, that God does. When that's the focus, when we can see, then we understand more and we understand better. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, right? We were having a discussion before church today. And we were talking about just a few of us sitting around talking like, I wish God would do this faster. But we have to resolve to the fact, like, he knows what he's doing. So I'm just going to trust that he is, you know, because it's not like my ways are above his ways. And if God would just come on board, right? You know, that's what we'd want. But God, in his perfect work and in his perfect timing, brings these things about that we can just trust in him. It says, the Lord, he has made his works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. You know, remembering that he is gracious and full of compassion. This great and mighty God, and how powerful he is, but he's also gracious and full of compassion. Right? Just think, he's created everything. He set a perfect law, right? That none of us can keep. You know, it's a schoolmaster for us. We've studied that. And to show us that we are in need of a savior, sinners in need of a savior. And this great God that's holy and he's perfect, but he's also gracious and compassionate, full of compassion, it says. Doesn't say that he's sometimes compassionate. He's full of compassion. You know, that's I don't know why we sometimes question him, but when we consider who he is and his character, a study like this that says he's gracious, he's great, he blesses us even though we don't deserve it, and he's full of compassion. You know, when we need compassion, we can go to him. That great personal and that personal relationship with God. Verse 5, he has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. You know, the peace of relying upon God for provision, even our daily bread, it says he has given food to those who fear him. Even the what we might consider the most basic. You ever been in autopilot, just kind of walking around the house, and you know, you just start grabbing food. I'm hungry. and we don't even understand how blessed we are in that. Right? Just think, like if we take our, because we often go through our lives with blinders on, not realizing, especially where we live, right? And most of us here are middle class, so we're, you know, we probably haven't missed a meal, you know, just consider those things, but that the Lord has given food to those who fear him. Consider that might even include somebody who's going out to hunt for it, you know, that they would be able to provide just the favor in obtaining the food that is needed. For those who fear him, he will ever be mindful of his covenant. God doesn't forget his covenants. He'll ever be mindful of it. Read through the Old Testament, right? And as you're reading through, you'll see God as he's talking to the prophets and he's telling them, go to the people and tell them this. And he'll remind you, you've broken the covenant here, 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 and here. I've remained faithful. I've remained faithful to this covenant. I made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And because I did that, I'll still remain faithful to you. You're going to get punished. You're going to get a spiritual spanking, but I'm going to remain faithful to the covenant I made with them. When it says here, he will be ever mindful of his covenant. He proves that throughout the scripture. He's declared his people to his people the power of his works and giving them the heritage of the nations. We watch as God says he's going to do something and then delivers on it, right? And he does never say something and be like, oh, sorry, guys, I wasn't aware this was going to happen. You guys can understand, right? That he says something and he does them. When he declares it, it's going to be done. Verse 7, the works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. What God does is true and fair, and what he commands is settled. We never have to wonder if what he says is true. And if it's fair, consider if we got what was fair in our relationship with the Lord, we're probably not going to be happy with the result. You know, we're going to fall back on the fact that he's gracious and compassionate, right? But God is always fair on his end. I love that about him. But what he says is true and fair, and what he's commanded is settled. So these things should bring us great comfort. We shouldn't have to worry about our lives, and as we place our trust in him, that he's going to provide for us, care for us, take care of us, lead us, guide us, all of those things. When we understand that he's true and fair, and that what he says is commands is settled, then we're going to find great comfort in his words. So as we place our faith and trust in him, we can rest easy knowing that he is true and fair, and what he commands is settled. So consider the creation and his word. They both praise God here, and they do not contradict each other. He's the author of them both. So when we consider that his precepts are sure, but his word is sure, right? So we can look at creation. We can look at his word and know that he can be praised and trusted. There isn't a contradiction in creation. There isn't a contradiction in his word. So we can find peace and knowing that he is who he says he was. Especially looking at Jesus, the life of Jesus Christ, right? You've heard me speak of that several times, so I won't continue to repeat myself. But the fact that God is true, fair, and that what he says is settled, we can just look at his word. We can look at creation and know that those things match up, and they creation matches his word, and his word tells us that creation declares his glory. So we're going to find ourselves, as we're diving into the word and we're understanding him more, we're walking with the Lord more, that we can place our trust in him. When we see how he cares for creation, that there's this cycle that goes around, right? Right now we have sun. It seems like it's been 3 months for us, but he provides, doesn't he? You see the provision. When Jesus told his disciples, and even in his teachings, he's saying, he's pointing to creation, and he's talking about the birds. They don't have to worry about what, they're taken care of. Why do we worry? Why do we worry about these things? But when we understand who God is, those doubts start melting away. And we start looking at a verse like this that says, the works of his hands are verity and justice. They're true and they're fair, and his precepts are sure. If we understand that and we believe that about God, then we don't come to a point where we're worrying, because we can find our trust in the creator of the universe, and that he knows our need and he provides for it. It's not like he's got this storage thing here. He's like, guys, I'm almost out. I don't know how much I can provide. Oliver and I were talking yesterday. We were at an event, and it just seemed there were a ton of people there, and it seemed like the trays were always full. And I'm like, there's a ton of people coming up here getting food. And we were joking, and Oliver's doing this with his hands like Jesus is breaking bread, and it just keeps coming, right? And we were just amazed, these people were faithful to bring it out here, and we can see that just being demonstrated. But God's always working. He's always providing for us. And I think if we look back on our lives as we've trusted the Lord, we don't look back and go, God failed to meet me right here, right? And if we have that perception, we have to look even deeper into it and go, did God fail or did I fail, right? Where is this? And we're always going to get to the point where God didn't fail me. I didn't trust him. And I went about and I did my own thing. And this is so... I love that we can meditate on something like this. The works of his hands are true and fair. What he does is true and fair, and his commands are settled. Verse 9, he has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. This may be speaking of the Exodus from Egypt, but consider what that pictures for us. Being delivered from the bondage of sin, where you can look at Egypt and Israel in bondage to them, and how cruel they were to to the Israelites, and they cried out to the Lord. The Lord heard the cry and then came and was mighty on their behalf and delivered them from that bondage. God has sent redemption to his people. We can sell, you know, they celebrated that and they would kind of hearken back to that occasion in their lives. We can hearken back to what Jesus Christ did on the cross and look back to how he's worked in our lives. But essentially our redemption is what we've experienced in our relationship with Christ. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. We want to find peace. You want to find comfort. Know that it's from the faithful and the compassionate God that we don't have to wonder whether he's with us or not. He has commanded his covenant forever. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his will. His praise endures forever. It's pretty neat that we actually, I was talking about it earlier today, that we are in Psalm 111 this evening, and in my study for what we studied in 1 Corinthians 3 brought us to this same verse. So we looked at this verse this morning, and I had it in my notes. Casey picked it out as the verse of the day today as he's putting those in here. Oliver read that during the announcements, and then here we are looking at it again. And what a good reminder for us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. You know, that wisdom starts with fearing God, you know, understanding who he is and his awesome power. And that understanding and having that wisdom that comes from God should dictate how we live from there. You know, how do we carry out our lives from there as we bear his name, as believers, as Christians that bear the name of Christ in our declaration of our faith, where we've identified ourselves as followers of Christ. We're also called to live in respect, reverence, and awe of the Lord. As we have that mindset of reverence and respect and awe of the Lord, we understand wisdom, and then we grow from there. We were talking this morning about Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, and they were so wrapped up in the world's wisdom and in philosophy and those things. It had become a god to them, and they were obsessed with it. And I love that in the first three chapters of Corinthians, there's a contrast between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. And there's the explanation there that God has put to shame the wisdom of this world. And he's used the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And we talked about the elevation, right? And that was the culture, was to be elevated, to be the smartest, to be the one with the great philosophy and all of those things, because I want to be lifted up above everybody else and everybody to look at me and to want to be more like me or respect me and everything. There, we probably understand what's happening there. It's pride. And you look at Isaiah 14 and look at the prideful statements of Lucifer. I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. I will. That ascension, that elevation that was desired there. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that understanding wisdom. And where it says a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Where we understand where we are. We're not seeking the world's wisdom. We're seeking godly wisdom. We want that wisdom from the Lord, and that's going to come as we fear the Lord. That's where it starts. Starts and then continues as we follow him. So for those that do keep his commandments, it says for those that do his commandments, and that means to keep them. There's a good understanding, a deeper knowledge of him, a desire to do according to his will. Once we understand him and everything, and we've been drawn into that relationship with him, the Spirit gives us that desire, changes our desires in our lives as we have an understanding of who he is. And it says his praise endures forever. So his praise, the praise of God endures forever through believers. Through believers, as faith just continues on. As much as the world and enemies of the gospel have tried to stomp out praise, stomp out Christianity, the more the smothering of the fire efforts happen, it just spreads the fire. So the praise of the Lord endures forever, not only here but in heaven. Right, you can't stop the praise of God. You know, look into when we get a glimpse into heaven, as John's writing the book of Revelation, and praise doesn't end. Right, so God is forever praised. Forever praised. I love this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. I wanted to share two passages with you before we wrap this up. But Job 28:28 says, "And to the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all." I love that. For this is man's all. Right? It just to think of understanding the Lord as much as we can, right? And trusting him and walking in him and keeping his commandments. Fear him and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength. What does he tell us to do? Love him, love our neighbor. Keep those commandments. Keep those statutes. Keep those things that God has said. And that is the man's all. So as just looking back on this psalm, studied through and read of all of these things. If you go back and write them all down, the majesty, honor, righteousness, unfailing love, justice, faithfulness, truth, holiness, and the eternity of God. That's what we just focused on in Psalm 111. You know, wonderful things for us to praise him for, to trust in and to meditate upon. So take this home, you know, read it again tonight and, see what the Lord lays on your heart. But, you know, those things, meditating on the majesty, honor, righteousness, unfailing love, right? Think of those things, like unfailing love. You know, it just makes me think of all the declarations. I would climb the mountain. I would, you know, think of the songs that are written about what somebody would do for love. And then you find out, like, oh, okay. Oh, but they were in an adulterous affair, and the person they wrote that to doesn't really matter anymore. But I would, you know, go through the fires of hell for you. Or I would, you know, climb to the highest height and swim across the ocean and all those things. And like, dude, you didn't make it across the pond, across the street. You know, that's failing love. That's the love of man, but God's love is unfailing. Justice, faithfulness, truth, holiness, and the eternity of God. It's just a blessing to meditate upon. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for the reminders in your word of who you are, your majesty, your unfailing love, your faithfulness, your justice. Lord, that you're full of compassion. Lord, help us not to forget those things in the midst of trial, in the midst of a spiritual attack. Help us to rely upon who you are and rely upon your strength. We love you and we thank you that we can come to you and place our trust in you, knowing that you're trustworthy. Lord, that you keep your promises, that you're true and fair. Oh, those are great things for us to be able to know and meditate upon. Know that our God still loves us. Even though we may fail, we may stumble, you still love us. So good to us. In Jesus' name we pray to you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.